Good morning, everyone. I'm glad you joined us on this online service. Today, we're going to talk about Paul's third missionary journey from Antioch to Ephesus. Now, before we get into this passage, let me ask you a question. If I ask you, what are your suffering today? Perhaps your answer could be, circuit breaker extended till June 1st. As a result, stay home. Children also stay home and need more attention. Cannot travel. Go out, wear masks. Observe social distancing. Cannot sit down at hawker center and eat. Go out, must come back home quickly. Cannot socialize. In other words, a great restraint to mobility and fellowship with one another. Even the online delivery man just dropped parcel at your door and moved away quickly without signature. Every person knows suffering. What is your view and response to suffering? None should seek it. Most fear it. Many worry about it. Suffering is a reality in this world. Each day we read and hear more on all kinds of suffering. Jesus says in Matthew chapter 6, verse 34, each day has enough trouble of its own. Paul's third missionary journey from Acts 18:23 to 21:15 reveals his mindset about suffering. The continuous missionary work, physical hardship, spiritual oppositions, danger, and toil to earn money for expenditure requires God's strength. His concerns were about others' persecution and spiritual growth. Paul's days as a disciple of Jesus Christ were filled with suffering. Yet God strengthened Paul and used his suffering to bring spiritual life to those without hope. Will you ask God to help you have this perspective on your suffering? Let us not pray for easier lives, but for God's strength and power to experience freedom in every pressure, trials, and testing, even in the current pandemic. We pick up from last week's sermon, Paul's second missionary journey from Acts chapter 17, verse 15 to 18, verse 22. Paul and his team were in Ephesus, the capital of Roman Asia. Interest was expressed. He remained in the city for a while, but pressed by the desire to return to Jerusalem and Antioch, he said in Acts chapter 18, verse 21, I will come back if it is God's will. What a true disciple of Jesus Christ who learned obedience to God's will. This we find it in Hebrews chapter 5, verse 8. Meanwhile, Priscilla and Aquila stayed in Ephesus, Acts chapter 18, verse 19. Paul went down to Caesarea, greeted the church, and then to Antioch in Syria. So he started his third missionary journey after spending some time in Antioch. Let's join Paul in his missionary journey and draw some important lessons and principles to apply in our lives, serving the Lord and shepherding others. Like any tour you join, you must have the map showing the places of the tour. See and trace the route of Paul's journey in the third journey mission. As you travel with Paul, you will discover this is an eventful long trip, 3 years in total. It is filled with excitement, energy, emotions, encouragement, and expectations. Some of these events bring suspense, laughter, thanksgiving, sorrow, tears, courage, strength, encouragement, and resulting in you giving praises to the one true and living God. Paul's travel has one purpose, the passionate proclamation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. He knew the gospel is the power of God for salvation. Romans chapter 1 verse 16. He was empowered by the Holy Spirit to proclaim the gospel. We divide Paul's third missionary journey into three parts in three sermons. Part 1, from Antioch to Ephesus. Part 2, Macedonia and Achaia. And part 3, journey to Jerusalem. This week, we cover part 1, Antioch to Ephesus. Acts chapter 18 verse 23 to chapter 19 verse 41. Ephesus was a port town, a major city too, in the province of Asia, and second city after Corinth, in which Paul invested a considerable amount of time, and Luke wrote two chapters on Ephesus. In this passage, the impact of the gospel is seen in the transformation of lives of Apollos, the Ephesian disciples, and all in Ephesus who believed and repented. By God's grace, the disciples were strengthened despite many challenges, hardship, and sufferings. We will learn one main truth. God's grace strengthens his disciples for his work. God's grace strengthens his disciples for his work. The big idea here is the word strengthen. Now we have two divisions. Ministry of Apollos, Acts chapter 18 from verse 23 to 28. Ministry of Paul, Acts chapter 19 verse 1 to 41. There are two divisions. Division 1, Ministry of Apollos, Acts chapter 18 verse 23 to verse 28. Division 2, Ministry of Paul, Acts chapter 19 verses 1 to 41. Now let me walk through with you the map and share some pictures on archaeological findings in Ephesus before we dive into the passage. This map shows Paul's third missionary journey from Syria to Galatia to Phrygia to Macedonia to Achaia and back to Jerusalem. The various cities he visited is marked with the verse in the Bible for us to make reference with his journey. This is the city plan. Below shows those features of the city of Ephesus that archaeologists have so far identified as dating from the time of Paul. Many of the notable buildings uncovered in the excavation at Ephesus date from later periods. This is a beautiful eastern view of Ephesus looking from the top. The archaeologists uncovered the historical site. This is the street in Ephesus, a popular site for tourists who visit Turkey today. This is another historical site, the Theater of Ephesus, another popular site for tourists visiting Turkey. This is another popular historical site, Library at Ephesus, very popular place for those tourists to take photographs. Now let us open Acts chapter 18 verse 23 to 19 verse 41. Division 1, Ministry of Apollos, Acts chapter 18 from verse 23 to 28. And let me read to you this verse.
After spending some time in Antioch, Paul set out from there and traveled from place to place throughout the region of Galatia and Phrygia, strengthening all the disciples. Meanwhile, a Jew named Apollos, a native of Alexandria, came to Ephesus. He was a learned man with a thorough knowledge of the scriptures. He had been instructed in the way of the Lord, and he spoke with great fervor and taught about Jesus accurately. Though he knew only the baptism of John, he began to speak boldly in the synagogue. When Priscilla and Aquila heard him, they invited him to their home and explained to him the way of God more accurately. When Apollos wanted to go to Achaia, the brothers and sisters encouraged him and wrote to the disciple there to welcome him. When he arrived, he was a great help to those who, by grace, had believed, for he vigorously refuted his Jewish opponent in public debate, proving from the scriptures that Jesus was the Messiah.
Now in verse 23, talk about Paul's missionary in Galatia and Phrygia. After spending some time in Antioch, in Syria, the sending church, probably updating and planning his third missionary journey. From Antioch, Paul set out for Central Asia Minor, the present-day Turkey, Galatia and Phrygia, passed through Derbe, Lystra, Iconium, President Antioch. He revisited the churches he started. The main goal was to strengthen all the disciples, i.e. their faith in Jesus Christ. God's grace strengthened Paul, and in return he strengthened all the disciples of the churches he revisited through Phrygia and Galatia. The main truth is that God's grace strengthened his disciples for his work. God's grace strengthened his disciples for his work. Now, strengthening one another in serving the Lord in church is vital. We see this in Bethany across ministries, leaders, members, and regular visitors. We are like one big family helping each other to serve Christ, who has shown us His example. Though we cannot meet to worship God in physical church, God is still worshipped through our online service with the right posture. This is the result of members strengthening each other through the use of their talents God had given them. Talking about strengthening one another, there was this national sing-along program through TV on last Friday, 25th April. It's Dick Lee encourage people sing the Singapore Virtual Choir rendition of Home from the balcony. Do you practice or participate that program? Certainly, this strengthened the frontline workers and the call to stay home. Now in verse 24 to 26, between Paul's departure from Ephesus to his return, God provided a new ministry partner. His name is called Apollos. His ministry covered two places, Ephesus and Corinth in Achaia, the present-day Greece. Who was Apollos? Now, he was a Jew from Alexandria in Egypt, famous for his learning. He was bold, brilliant, and eloquent public speaker. He was a faithful teacher of scripture, especially about Messiah. Most importantly, Apollos was teachable. However, his understanding of Christianity was not complete because he only understood the baptism of repentance administered by John the Baptist and the promised Messiah to come, as is told by the phrase, talk about Jesus accurately. It means Apollos knew what Jesus was to do, though he did not know Jesus had come. He had no knowledge of baptism in the name of Jesus and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, or the true meaning of death and resurrection of Jesus, and yet he taught boldly in the synagogue. What a courage! Meanwhile, the Jewish couple Priscilla and Aquila continued to attend in the synagogue in Ephesus after Paul's departure, and they listened to Apollos. They were impressed by Apollos' passion. However, they realized some gaps and decided to invite him to their home and taught him about the gospel accurately. The Messiah is God's man, Jesus Christ. He's the Savior and Lord. The truth about Jesus Christ includes his eternal being, incarnations, righteous lives, substitutionary death, burial, resurrection, ascension, and sending of the Holy Spirit, the promised return as judge and king. Apollos embraced God's good news for the world and was strengthened by the couple. They were a good model of Christian community, strengthening one another. You see, Paul has strengthened Priscilla and Aquila. In return, they strengthened Apollos. This is how the ministry work should be carried out, strengthening others, not just yourself. The main truth here again, repeat, God's grace strengthened his disciple for his work. Priscilla and Aquila were leaders who were purposeful and leaders to follow. They were also good shepherds to the true ministry leaders. Personal touch, caring, thoughtful, and generous. As a result, they strengthened Apollos in knowledge of the scripture. Apollos being teachable, the impact was tremendous, as we see in verses 27 to 28. We have Apollos' ministry in Corinth. And with the Ephesians Christians letter of sponsors, Apollos went to Corinth in Achaia, present-day Greece, and greatly helped Paul's former converts, and he vigorously refuted the Jews at Corinth, boldness with boldness, and proving from the scripture Jesus was the Messiah. However, from 1 Corinthians, we learn that there was a good and there was a bad result arising from his ministry. What happened? Apollos made some converts and developed Paul's new converts. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 5 to 6, people tried to make Apollos a party leader, separated from other leaders. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 12. Apollos left the area and refused to go back at that time. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 12. These are the challenges in God's ministry even today. Be careful, be watchful of potential division in church. Now, to summarize these divisions, Apollos preached powerfully in Ephesus and Corinth after being taught by Priscilla and Aquila. Now, there are three lessons that we can learn from these divisions. Learning and fervor, though our valuable gifts, are not themselves enough for Christian workers. We must know the person of Jesus Christ. Second, different kind of people are needed for Christian work. Priscilla and Aquila being hospitable and sensitive, Apollos eloquent speaker, and Paul gospel champion. Now, the third lesson is that Christians' community helps believers understand the way of the Lord better and strengthen them to be better witness of truth. Now, the first principle from this division is God provides His Spirit and His Word to strengthen disciples. God provides His Spirit and His Word to strengthen disciples.
Principle number one, God provides His Spirit and His Word to strengthen disciples. God provides His Spirit and His Word to strengthen disciples.
Pulpit ministry is a very important ministry where the Word of God is preached and the Holy Spirit takes God's Word to transform our hearts and lives together so that we could love Christ and people. This year, we preached through the book of Acts, the Unstoppable Gospel. And we are more than half through Acts. The question is, how has God's Word through Acts strengthened you? How has God's Word through Acts strengthened you? Who can you help people like that of Apollos in our church? Could it be the youth group? Potential cell group leaders? Sunday school teachers? And even board members? God provides His Spirit and His Word to strengthen disciples. Whilst Apollos was in Corinth, Paul arrived at Ephesus and continued his ministry of teaching and preaching, fulfilling his promise when he departed in Acts chapter 18, verse 21. Now we move on to division 2, ministry of Paul, Acts chapter 19, verse 1 to 41. There were four events in Paul's ministry in Ephesus. First, encounter with 12 disciples of John the Baptist. 2, commitment to the church. 3, counterfeit divine power. 4, riot in Ephesus. Now we move on to first event. Chapter 19, verse 1 to 7. Paul's encounters with John's 12 disciples. This man, like Apollos, faithfully live by what they learned through John the Baptist. John preached a baptism for repentance and preparation for the coming Messiah. Like Priscilla and Aquila, Paul detected a gap through observation and through his question. Paul asked them the question concerning their conversion and the Holy Spirit, and they said in verse 2, "No, we have not even heard that there is a Holy Spirit." Next, Paul told them the gospel. Jesus is the Lord who forgave their sin through His death on the cross. After Jesus' resurrection and ascension in heaven, the Son asked the Father to send the Holy Spirit to dwell within those who would receive Him as Savior and Lord. John chapter 14 and 17. There is a difference between the two baptisms. The baptism of repentance was an act signifying a turn from sin to God. The baptism of the Holy Spirit occurs when He first indwells the person who places their faith in Jesus Christ, sealing them with His power and the promise of eternal life. The result was that the 12 disciples were baptized into the name of Jesus Christ. Their faith was strengthened. God's grace strengthened His disciple for work. God's grace strengthened His disciple for His work. Now we move on to second event, in verses 8 to 12, Paul's commitment to the church. Paul first appealed to the Jews through the preaching in synagogue. Paul added his voice to the ministry of Priscilla and Aquila and Apollos. Paul taught boldly and persuasively in the synagogue for 3 months before the obstinate Jews publicly maligned his teaching. And so he took the disciples and had daily discussion in the lecture hall of Tyrannus, supposedly a lecturer's name, where Paul committed 2 years in teaching and discussions. People came to Ephesus with cultures, assumptions, experiences and beliefs from around the world. God's beauty and power were on full display through the diversity of the growing Ephesian church united in Christ. Paul's schedule must have been very packed. Tent making, training, teaching, discipling, personal quiet time. Very dedicated to God's ministry. Fully committed to the church work, which is hard work. Church work is hard work. As a result, in verse 10, all Jews and Greeks in the province of Asia heard the word of the Lord. Their faith was strengthened. Perhaps the seven churches of Asia mentioned in Revelation were founded about this time. God's grace strengthened his disciple for his work. Paul's commitment to Ephesus church is a timely reminder how we are to commit to our church in teaching, training, small groups, discipling, prayer, and the study of God's words, especially we don't meet physically today. Question is, how could you open your life to spread God's word to others today as you stay home? God did extraordinary things through Paul as he testified to the good news of God's grace. God, in his grace, is doing extraordinary things in our church today, guiding us in strategic planning, provision of Pastor Desmond to teach us, and the dedicated church admin, the young people stepping forward to serve, technology to enable online service, meetings, and more people committed to prayer. Now we move to the third event in verses 11 to 22, the counterfeit of divine power. God works miracles through Paul's dependence on his perfect power and plan. Some miracles, healing, were part of God's plan to free people from suffering under Satan's hold through magic, superstition, and ignorance. Just as God healed a bleeding woman who faithfully and courageously grabs the hem of Christ's garment in Luke chapter 8, verse 43 to 48, God healed many who grabs Paul's garment. One form of opposition to the gospel came through attempts to counterfeit the power of the Holy Spirit. These counterfeits seek to profit from Jesus apart from his saving relationship. Lust for power, authority, and fame leads people to try to glorify themselves by using the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is practiced even today. Among them were seven sons of Sceva, a Jewish chief priest. The devil is no fool. At this point, he is the father of fakers or counterfeit. And Luke accounts of the attempted power healing by the seven sons was quite comical. In verse 15, one day the evil spirit answered them, "Jesus I know, and I know about Paul, but who are you?" Next, the evil spirit overpowered them, beat them, they bled and ran out naked. It was embarrassing and also scary. What happened next depends on your imagination. Here we saw the devil's superior power stood in contrast to the powerless fakers. It served as a warning of the consequences of false teaching and the danger of dabbling with evil spirit. In verse 17 to 20, the unmasking of the evil spirit within these counterfeit Christians positively impacted the Ephesians in three ways. First, the reverence for the Lord's name. Fear the Lord, name of Jesus exalted. Second, repentance and cleansing of the sin, turning away from the occult and the destruction of evil literature. Third, revival. God's message spread widely and grew in power. The main truth here again remind us that God's grace strengthened his disciple for his work. In verse 21 to 22, after what happened, Paul initiated plans to return to Jerusalem through Macedonia and Achaia. He sent his co-laborer Timothy and Eurotas as advance party while he stayed in Ephesus a little longer, but he faced a big challenge, trouble and danger, the riot and God's intervention. So we have the fourth event, riots in Ephesus, from verse 23 to 41. In the Olympian Pantheon, Artemis or Diana, as is known in Rome, was identified as the hunter goddess, protectors of wild creature. But the worship of her in Ephesus had connection to mother god cult of the East. Artemis symbolized sexual fertility. Sexual worship had a hold on the people in Ephesus. Her temple was reckoned as one of the seven wonders of the ancient world, four times as large as that of the Pantheon in Athens. Apparently, the city's economy prosperity focused on the temple of Artemis. It was a center of banking and cultic worship. The positive response to Paul's teaching stirred up opposition against the gospel. This time it came from silversmiths who lost customers for the idols they crafted and sales dropped. One of the silversmiths by the name of Demetrius plotted a riot among the silversmiths. The scene was chaotic yet quite comical. Fear of uncertainty in business, loss of temple branding, shouting, seized Paul's companion Gaius and Aristarchus. Paul was prevented from showing up by his disciple, and most people did not know why they were there. More were shouting and pushing and jostling, etc. and etc. Then in verse 35, the city guard quiet the crowds and said, "Fellow Ephesians, doesn't all the world know that the city of Ephesus is the guardian of the temple of the great Artemis and her image, which fell from heaven?" Fell from heaven? Next, through reasoning and legal means to settle dispute, or they will be charged for rioting. The riot stopped and the assembly dismissed. By the civil authority given to the town clerk, God allowed these early Christians a measure of protections under due process of the law of their days. The summary for this division is, Paul taught for 2 years in Ephesus, stirring many to believe and others to oppose. The lesson we can learn from Paul's ministry in Ephesus are, many people become one body through the unifying message of salvation. 2, he taught daily for 2 years in the school-like setting, suggesting the importance of regular ministry and has the potential of enduring fruit. 3, it is dangerous for believers and unbelievers alike to dabble in magic or spirit. Christianity is supernatural, but it is not magical. There is power in the name of Jesus. And the last lesson, God is sovereign. As creator of law and authority, he is in control of all things, as we saw how the riot was stopped and he sustained his disciple in hardship. So the second principle is, God graciously sustained and strengthened disciples through hardship. God graciously sustained and strengthened disciples in through hardship.
Principle number 2, God graciously sustains and strengthens disciples through hardship. God graciously sustains and strengthens disciples through hardship.
Where do you need God to sustain and strengthen you, and why? Which examples and experiences of Paul is helpful to you, and how? On 25th April, Straits Times published the iconic Matterhorn Mountain in Zermatt, Switzerland, was illustrated by Swiss light with a huge flag of Singapore since March the 24th. It was very impressive. It was a timely show of support and of hope for Singapore, and our Prime Minister wrote in his Facebook and said, thank you to Swiss Town for the beautiful show of solidarity during the COVID-19 pandemic. What will you do to thank God for His grace in sustaining and strengthening you through your hardship? What would you do to thank God for His grace in strengthening and sustaining you through your hardship? In conclusion, let's remember the main truth in this passage. God's grace strengthened His disciple for His work. God's grace strengthened His disciple for His work. God called Paul to build His church in Ephesus through much suffering. He did not seek out suffering. He sought out suffering people God wanted to save. Paul did not fear suffering, even when the Jews maligned his teaching and the riot in Ephesus threatened his life. He trusted God's sovereign plan and power for His good work, and God's grace strengthened him for His work, and in return, Paul strengthened many others. Paul did not worry about suffering. He worried about those who lived and died without the gospel of hope, peace, joy through Jesus Christ. Shouldn't we worry about these two? God strengthened Paul through his suffering, and Paul strengthened Priscilla and Aquila, who in return strengthened Apollos to better witness of truth. Paul also strengthened the 12 disciples of John the Baptist with the understanding of Jesus and the work of the Holy Spirit. In addition, Paul strengthened his disciples through daily Bible study, miracles of healing, and many Jews and Greeks living in Ephesus turned away from idolatry. Paul's work is an example of God's grace strengthen His disciples for His work. How has God strengthened your work, and who are you strengthening? Will you turn to God and trust His sovereignty and His strength for you to do His work and the ability to strengthen others for His glory? Let us pray. Holy and righteous God, we give you thanks for your word this morning that spoke about your grace, that your grace strengthened your people for your ministry. We thank you for giving us your work. We thank you, Lord, through your mighty power, you do sustain and strengthen us. And that, Lord, we ask that you help us to see you at work in our life, and that in return we are strengthened and we can strengthen others too. For your name's sake, we pray all this in the great and mighty name of Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.